Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Y'all just not going to let that go. Y'all just not going to let that go. I said it yesterday. I guess I have to stand behind it today on the eve of the divisional round kicking off. This is Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. It's a Football Friday with Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We want you guys to chime in on the CNG hotline. Which team's exit would be the most surprising? Hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But Gojo, since we're going to talk about Josh Allen, and since I made the statement, hot take, that Josh Allen was the best remaining quarterback in the playoffs, I guess we got to look a little bit closer at that Bills-Chiefs matchup that's going to happen Sunday night, don't we?
I think we do. And listen, Chris, you shouldn't be surprised. This is a show with a whole segment called People Don't Forget. If you thought that one was going to slip through the cracks.
I know. But People Don't Forget is a whole week from now. Y'all just going to bring it up with the rejoin?
Honestly, Chris, right now I think is the best time. Because, man, if they managed to go out and pull this off, and like what we're on the cusp of this weekend is something that a lot of people are excited about. We talked about this the other day. As far as potential for players going forward. And people brought up Patrick Mahomes as maybe the one guy who you could put stock in right now that's got a chance. I'm not saying he's going to do it. I'm not saying it's a fair or realistic expectation. But if you are looking for a young player, and we know quarterbacks can skew this way, who could maybe eventually start to reach some of the Brady conversations, career longevity, accomplishing early the way Tom did, it was going to be Patrick Mahomes. And so now as we build out that universe around this and try and recreate the stuff we had when we were all coming up, if people want to try and tap back into that Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning rivalry that we had for so many years that leaked into the postseason, a lot of people are circling Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills now as maybe that Peyton Manning-led Colts team to Patrick Mahomes' Chiefs team reprising that Tom Brady role. So that's kind of what's on the line this weekend.
Oh, no doubt. But, I mean, Josh Allen not only has to win this game in Arrowhead, which is a tough task to do because the Chiefs have won five straight playoff games in Arrowhead, it would also mean him winning the AFC Championship and getting to the Super Bowl, because unless you're talking about competing at that level of the sport, you can't have the Peyton Manning-Tom Brady rivalry. So it's going to take both quarterbacks demonstrating that they're more than capable of winning championships before anybody is going to buy into that. Pat Mahomes has already done it. He's gone to two straight Super Bowls, got a chance to do three straight Super Bowls this season. That's only been done three times in the National Football League, Gojo. A team to go to three consecutive Super Bowls. The 70s Dolphins did it, the 90s Bills did it, and the Patriots did it from 2016 to 2018. So if Pat Mahomes is able to pull that off, that'd be a hell of an accomplishment. You've had more teams go to back-to-back, win championships back-to-back, than you've had teams go to three consecutive Super Bowls. You've had eight teams have back-to-back championships in comparison to three teams that have gone to three straight Super Bowls. So in terms of the degree of difficulty, everybody can buy into what Pat Mahomes is bringing to the table just based on what he's done early in his career. He is the Tom Brady of a generation, or at least the closest thing we got to that. We're just waiting for that rival in the AFC to step up and fill that Peyton Manning role. And Josh Allen, he has the attributes to be able to do it, but he doesn't have the consistency that a Peyton Manning once did. So that's the thing that we're waiting to see, whether or not Josh Allen can string together consecutive games and being able to play at a high level. We've talked about it all week about how Josh Allen had the single highest passer rating of any quarterback in any game in the 2021 season last week. Can he follow that up with another stellar performance in Arrowhead? Because quite frankly, in order for his team to have a chance in hell at winning this game, he's going to have to play at that level.
No, and that's where I feel like he doesn't necessarily have to win this for this to start getting those comps. Because, Chris, remember, that was really the bedrock of that one was, for a long time, Peyton Manning, best regular season quarterback in the NFL, maybe. Tom Brady, a guy who had dominated a lot of those postseason matchups. It felt like Brady and the New England Patriots always had the edge in that spot, and we always expected them to win, and that was really when Peyton Manning started to crack into some of those upper echelon conversations, when they finally broke through, when the Colts finally won the Super Bowl. I just think with that, Josh Allen has been super successful now in back-to-back regular seasons. He is the driving force behind his team's wins. Now, it's more in the Patrick Mahomes way than Peyton Manning, who was up at the line of scrimmage, field general, those chess matches with guys like him and Ray Lewis staring each other down across the line of scrimmage. But all of that was kind of about an imbalance in that rivalry, I think, was Tom Brady and his side were so associated with postseason success, and Peyton Manning had everything else in his lead-up to that.
No doubt about it. But one of the things that Peyton Manning and Tom Brady have also both demonstrated is their ability to play and win close games. And this season, the Buffalo Bills, they're 0-5 in one possession games. That's not something that bodes well for them this coming weekend, but that's also when we have the legacy conversation and the trajectory conversation around Josh Allen, we got to factor that in as well. Like, I understand that you blow out a lot of people, and that's all well and good, but you also got to have big-time plays in big moments in close games. And I don't know that I necessarily trust Josh Allen in the same way I trust Pat Mahomes or Peyton Manning or Tom Brady because I haven't seen it, Gojo. So that's the thing that I'm going to be looking for. I think this is going to be a one-possession game in Arrowhead. I think it's far more likely that it's going to be a close game than it's going to be a blowout. And so I just look at Josh Allen and say, this is the stage that everybody wants to see you perform at, going head-to-head against the guy who you've really been a footnote to his greatness is since you came in the league in Pat Mahomes. Everybody wants to see if you're going to be able to deliver for your team in this spot.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And for Josh Allen, Chris, it's also like we talk about defining moments that stick in your head for everyone. And for all of us with Josh Allen, there is that playoff run where he had that 30-yard backpedal on a sack where we were all just inexplicably wondering what the hell he was doing there. And going into this game, we've talked so much about Tampa Bay going out and blitzing the hell out of the Rams, being number one in blitzing throughout the season, sending five or more defenders. Kansas City 7th in that regard. And Josh Allen and the Bills, 22nd in QBR against the blitz this season. We know Josh can extend plays here, but for Kansas City, that is somewhat strength on somewhat weakness in this spot. And if you're Josh Allen, it is, like you said, demonstrating consistent composure in these spots because it does ramp up a little bit, and everyone is looking at you a little bit different. There were stretches after the Bills got blown out by the Titans, Chris, where we kind of let them be for a little bit, where we ignored that in favor of what was going on with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. All eyes are back on you and how you're going to hold up in that spot.
No doubt about it. And so Josh Allen, both as a passer and as a runner, is going to have to deliver. And we know, Gojo, Steve Spagnuolo is going to throw a lot of blitzes at him. He's going to play a lot of single high coverage, a lot of man coverage. So that creates opportunities both as Josh Allen, the runner, being able to convert second reaction plays and use his legs to keep drives alive, but then also opportunities to get out on the edge of the defense, stress the Chiefs D in that way, and then allow his receivers more time to uncover downfield. There are big plays to be had. We saw a big play in that Week 5 matchup where he threw a touchdown pass to Dawson Knox off of a second reaction play. Like, those are the types of things that Josh Allen is going to have to routinely do on Sunday night if the Buffalo Bills are going to have a chance at being able to beat the Chiefs again in Arrowhead. So hopefully they can take a little bit of confidence from their regular season performance against this outfit into this game on Sunday. But you also got to think that AFC Championship game that they had last year is in the back of their minds, and they're wondering if they truly can beat the Kansas City Chiefs once it matters the most.
Yeah, well, you talk about having to clear a mental hurdle. If this Chiefs team this year that had to readjust the way it went about offense, get used to longer, more sustained drives, can go out and beat Buffalo, who hasn't yet really had to adjust their approach in necessarily the same way, all of a sudden that's going to be another one of those barriers that you mount up that starts to form in the postseason. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We do want to hear from you because that is going to be a game that, like Chris said, I think is going to come down to being a very close game, one possession game, field goal type game towards the end. But would the Chiefs getting knocked off necessarily be the most surprising result? We'll tell you what ours is. You tell us what yours is. We'll do that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Taking your calls on which team's exit would be the most surprising on the CNG hotline. Hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go out to Dennis in Hawaii. Dennis, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. Oh, we don't have Dennis. Okay. I think Dennis was going to say the Green Bay Packers, Mike, which was my pick.
So there we go.
I was going to roll with the Green Bay Packers. I think them being ousted from the playoffs, going up against an inferior quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo and an inferior roster in the 49ers from a talent standpoint, that would be the biggest shocker in the playoffs.
Dennis, you're back with us, and do you agree with that?
Are you on with Dennis now? I got cut off.
Yeah, we got you, Dennis. What's going on, man?
Okay, aloha. I think the most shocking upset would be Green Bay for three reasons. Number one, they're getting all these players back. Number two, the weather is real. And number three, 80,000 screaming fans. But I have another scenario where I believe Aaron Rodgers can still catch or surpass Tom Brady as the GOAT. How? Threepeat. No one's ever done it in the Super Bowl era. The only ones who ever done it is the Vince Lombardi teams. And the first one, there was no Super Bowl. Whether all three wins would be with the Packers or not, who knows? But if he wins three in a row, he'd be 4-0, and his statistics, especially the most important statistic, which is how many times has your arm put the ball in the end zone and how many times is it given away? He's historically way above anybody else with that statistic.
We appreciate the call here, Dennis. And listen, three-peat, lofty ambition there. We're kind of trying to deal in realistic situations on this show,
exactly.
So I'm probably not going to give much credence to this. Aaron Rodgers going on to become the NFL's foremost mercenary. I mean, probably not the most likely scenario for him to bounce from team to team here and try and manage to put together three straight trips to the Lombardi. But Lord knows you can dream. All the rest of the reasons he gave, though, Chris, especially about the cavalry coming back with injury. David Bakhtiari, who played in Week 18 against the Detroit Lions, likely going to get a go at this. They're thinking they might get Billy Turner back on the other side as well at tackle here. Randall Cobb might be coming back after that core injury here, getting a chance to play in a postseason game with this team after coming back this offseason. All of those, coupled with Jaire Alexander on the other side, certainly have the arrow pointed in their favor to what you brought up.
And let's not forget Za'Darius Smith, too. There's a chance that he might play in this matchup as well. So if you're able to generate that pressure, and then you've got one of the best corners in all of football in Jaire Alexander returning to that defense, that's going to be a formidable unit going up against the 49ers. And let's face it, you need your back end to be able to hold up in man-to-man coverage, because the Green Bay Packers are going to have to commit extra bodies to the run game for the 49ers. It's one of the most diverse run games in the National Football League. You see what Kyle Shanahan does in terms of using Elijah Mitchell, using Deebo Samuel, all of the different things that they do. They're multiple when it comes to their ground attack. And so you're going to have to be able to have multiple guys up at that line of scrimmage. You're talking about eight-man fronts at a minimum in order to be able to slow that down. That means your guys on the back end got to hold up in man coverage. Jaire Alexander gives them a better opportunity to do that. So, yeah, Green Bay has got it all out in front of them. There's no reason why they should lose this game. Again, you've got the better quarterback in this matchup. Your quarterback has the best skill position player in Devontae Adams in this matchup. You've got a top 10 defense to support you. You've got a head coach that's 43-12, including the playoffs, since he's gotten there in Green Bay. The Packers should win this game. They have no business losing this game. If they lose this game, there's got to be a hell of a lot of criticism on Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, because it would be inexcusable at this point.
And it would really ruin Dennis's potential origin story for Aaron Rodgers to go ahead and become the quarterback version of Darrell Revis and take one-year mercenary contracts on all these teams and basically play all-time quarterback in this one. Which, the more I say it out loud here, Dennis, I hope you're on to something, because from our standpoint, that would be tremendously entertaining.
Oh, no doubt.
Chris, I still go back to, though, in this, I go to Tom Brady and the Bucs, and I think that shifted even more today. Hell, my view on this game shifted a little bit today when we heard the news about Andrew Whitworth not being in the lineup for the Los Angeles Rams. Their 40-year-old stalwart left tackle, who when Sean McVay came over, was a guy that he spent more time than almost anyone connecting with in the offseason, bringing him in because he understood with how he wants to operate offense, with the way the Rams are going to go out there, majoring in 11 personnel, one tight end, one running back, and three wideouts, not running a lot of wildly different plays, you were going to need the offensive line to do it. And when they made their Super Bowl run, that group was the bedrock about all of this. And so now Joe Noteboom stepping in there, while on the other side, last week, Tampa Bay got the cavalry back, got Jason Pierre-Paul in that lineup, got their ends, Joe Tryon, Sharinka in that group, that whole group along with Shaq Barrett that can get after the passer. And we know with the Rams wanting to, needing to spread it out against Tampa Bay's defensive front on the other side, you've got all of that before we even get to the greatest of all time playing quarterback, fresh off of Lombardi there in his first season with Tampa. So that, to me, just because of the Tom Brady factor and the recent injury news swinging this, makes that Tampa Bay Bucs exit one that would be pretty shocking to a lot of people.
Yeah, that would be a surprise. Tampa is 10-0 when they win the turnover battle. And if they force the L.A. Rams to become a one-dimensional outfit and make Matt Stafford drop back 30-plus times, it's hard to envision that Stafford doesn't turn the football over against this defense. I mean, look at the last four regular season games that Stafford played in. He had a total of 8 turnovers in those 4 games. So I know he was clean in the wild card round, but again, the Rams didn't ask him to do much. It was really led by that defense and led by that ground game and Cam Akers and company. So I'd be interested to see what Matt Stafford does in this game. We know there's going to be a lot more pressure on him, literally and figuratively, going up against the GOAT. And Tom Brady, when he's hosting in a divisional round at home, he's 12-1. The guy is money. He's got 27 touchdowns to only 6 interceptions. So we know that Brady is going to produce. It's going to be up to Matt Stafford to see if he can match that production and match Brady's score for score. I'm betting that he can't do it against the GOAT. And so that's why it would make it a pretty surprising upset, but not as surprising as seeing Jimmy Garoppolo in the 49ers beating Aaron Rodgers in the Green Bay Packers.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The one thing we've talked about relative to the Dallas Cowboys about all the change that they might absorb a coordinator is how Tampa Bay might be on the cusp of the same thing here. This is a team that the hallmark was they brought everyone back from that championship team. And we've seen Todd Bowles, guy who had some head coaching experience with the Jets, back in the cycle this year, getting some looks for head coach at other organizations. We've seen Byron Leftwich, their offensive coordinator, starting to get a lot of those very same looks too. So the outfit could change a fair amount for Tampa next year because of all the success that they've had here. So lots on the line heading into the games this weekend. But coming up next, we'll take a look at just that. We've talked about who would be shocking. We'll see which underdogs we're ready to actually pick and hit you on the plus side next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Football Friday here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Get at us on the CNG Twitter line at Mike Golic Jr. at Chris Canty 99. We want to know which team's exit would be the most surprising. Now, this weekend preview is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to Geico.com today. And Gojo, one of the things that we like to do on a Football Friday is we like to try to figure out a way to make our listeners some coin when it comes to betting on the games, on the slate of games in the weekend. So I figured we'd do a little bit on the plus side for the divisional round this weekend with the 4 matchups that we got, seeing what dogs we like in the fight.
Yeah, why don't we get this going here, guys? Renee, hit the music. God, Kevin, yes.
Oh, classic battle is the best.
It just got cold in here, man. It just got cold right now.
Oh, yes.
All right. Now that we feel like we're both ready to hit someone, even though we know good and damn well we want no parts of that anymore.
No,
good on
that
front. All good on that. It feels like it, and that's what's important here. So let's take a look at some of the dogs heading in to the round this weekend, see what we like. What's the first matchup we got up here?
Bengals at Titans.
All right, Bengals at Titans. Cincinnati +3.5 in this game versus the 1-seed Titans. Chris, how we feeling?
I'm rolling with the Tennessee Titans, man. So I don't see the upside in going with the Cincinnati Bengals in the 3.5 points. As much as I want to, as much as I believe in Joey B and what the Bengals offense is bringing to the table, I got too many question marks as to how that Bengals defense is going to stop the Titans. And then I also know that this team in Tennessee takes on the personality of their head coach, Mike Vrabel. They are going to be a tough, in-your-face bunch. We had Kevin Byard on our show earlier this year, and he talked about how it was championship or bust. This is a team that's been in the playoffs, had a lot of success with this core of players. They're going to come out and try to punch Cincinnati in the mouth, and I don't know that the Bengals are really ready for that smoke. Mike Vrabel is 4-0 coming off of bye weeks as the number one seed. They had the extra week of rest, and they're going to be at home. I'm going with Tennessee, so I don't see value in taking the underdog in this matchup.
I'll go Cincinnati in the points. I think this ends up being a field goal game. I think the Titans win this one, though, Chris. And this takes me all the way back to the Super Bowl from last year where I went against the things that I knew about football and I got burned bad. Not going to have it again. I know the Titans' disrespect has been heavy this week, but I think they win. I think the one seed moves on. They own the lines of scrimmage in this game. We've seen what that defense can do when healthy. We know what this offense is capable of when you insert Derrick Henry in there. I think the Titans win outright, but I think Cincinnati +3.5 is just enough for me to take the bait on that one.
You what do we like got that next? Hook. You like that hook of half of a point. You like it.
I need it. I need it, baby. What do we got next?
49ers at Packers.
God, I'm going to look like such an idiot again. I know it. San Francisco at Green Bay. The Niners, the biggest dog of the weekend, 5.5 points. Chris, you think Kyle Shanahan and the bunch can make it interesting?
Yeah, I do. I think San Francisco can win outright. And I know that I picked Dallas to beat them last week in the wild card round. But this San Francisco team's run game is really going to give this Green Bay Packers defense some trouble. And we know that they're going to try to control the complexion of the game. The best defense for Aaron Rodgers is keeping them off the field. And that's the one thing that this 49ers run game has the potential to do. Now, I expect that Green Bay is going to put everybody in their mama at the line of scrimmage to try to stop them. But San Francisco can run the football even when opposing defenses know they're going to run the football, and that's the difference to me with teams that are able to have success in the postseason. You got to be able to run it when the opposing team knows you're going to run it. It's the worst feeling in football when you're on the defensive side, and I have a feeling that Kyle Shanahan is going to give Matt LaFleur and that Green Bay Packers defense a dose of that this weekend. This ain't about believing in Jimmy Garoppolo, because I don't. Jimmy Garoppolo has shown me enough that he'll throw the game away if you give him a chance to. But I also know that Kyle Shanahan, when he throws the ball less than 26 times, is 19-2. That'll be his formula in this game. And so I'm going with the underdog, not only to cover with the 5.5, but I'm taking the underdog outright.
All right, so this will be our head-to-head game on the weekend then, because I know the Niners are getting Nick Bosa back. I know everything you said there, Chris. And with Kyle Shanahan and this 49ers team, we know how they want to win. Motion offense, play action passing in conjunction with that running game here. The Green Bay Packers cut from the same cloth. We've all seen the pictures by now of Sean McVay, of Kyle Shanahan, of Matt LaFleur on that Washington football team staff from back in the day. This is a Green Bay offense that wants to do a lot of the same stuff. And as a result, the Green Bay Packers defense on a yards per play basis, sixth best in the NFL against motion. The Green Bay Packers defense in terms of yards per attempt allowed against play action, sixth best in the NFL going up against that offense. That's before we even get to Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and a passing attack that I think is going to exploit that defense in all of the ways that Troy Aikman was frustrated the Cowboys did not there. I'll take the Packers, and I'll lay the points on this one. I think they'll beat them by a touchdown at least in this game on the divisional round. So we've got our rubber match for the weekend here right now, the revenge of the Crickets coming back. What's the next matchup here on Canty and Golic Jr.?
Rams at Buccaneers.
All right, Rams, Bucks. Bucks coming in this one, 2.5-point favorite. So Rams +2.5 in this game, Chris. How you like them?
Man, listen, I don't like the Rams in this matchup. I know that it's only a matter of a field goal in this one, but I don't like the Rams. I'm going with the Bucs. They've won 5 straight playoff games, and Tom Brady at home in the divisional round is money. He's got a 99 passer rating over the life of his career, 12-1 record, and he's 27 touchdowns to only 6 interceptions. I get it. He's got a lot of guys that are banged up. Tristan Wirfs along that offensive line, along with Ryan Jensen. No Antonio Brown, no Chris Godwin. But I trust Tom Brady to MacGyver this thing and figure out a way to be able to sustain drives. He's still got Rob Gronkowski, his security blanket. He's still got Cameron Brate. He's still got Mike Evans. He'll figure out a way to be able to pick that zone defense from the L.A. Rams apart and sustain drives and score points. And on the flip side of it, I just don't trust Matt Stafford enough to take the Rams and the points. I know that the front seven from the Bucs is going to shut down the Rams' run game. I ain't even worried about that. The question is whether or not Matt Stafford is going to be able to protect the football along with making the requisite plays in the passing game. And when you start talking about Matt Stafford being a volume passer, I'm not sure that that's where Sean McVay wants to live, but that's how he's going to have to win. And Matt Stafford showed us late in the regular season that he'll turn the football over. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 10-0 when they win the turnover battle. So I'm going with the Bucs. I don't see the value in taking the dog in this one.
All right, I was wrong. We're going to be on opposite sides. If I was looking for one upset in the weekend, Chris, this is the one I circled. And there's some football reasons we can go to. I think Chris Godwin had a huge impact on this game. The first time these teams met, won't be on the field. We've talked about both sides potentially missing a starting tackle. We know Andrew Whitworth out for the Los Angeles Rams. We know that we could see Tristan Wirfs out potentially for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A lot of this one to me, though, Chris, is just kind of going back to some of the narrative stuff that we've seen here. I think at some point Matthew Stafford's going to have to break through. I think that they invested all of this in him for this moment here. And part of me would kind of love to see it in this one, to see how this wrinkle would affect the future for what we see with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. I'll take the Rams outright in this one, winning and getting the upset on the divisional round weekend here. So that leaves us with one more here, the crown jewel. What do we got, Renee?
Bills at Chiefs.
All right, Buffalo at Kansas City. Buffalo plus 1.5 in this one. Chris, we have put this Josh Allen take of yours on full display for the nation, saying he was the best quarterback left in the playoffs here. Is he good enough for you to actually pick them?
Nah, he's not good enough for me to pick him. I can't do it, man. Josh Allen ain't got no game-winning drives this season, and we know that when the Buffalo Bills win, they win big. When there are close games, they find themselves on the losing side of it. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills are 0-5 in one-possession games. It's hard for me to trust you going on the road in Arrowhead, where the Chiefs have won 5 consecutive playoff games, and Pat Mahomes has an overall home playoff record of 6-1. I can't do it, Gojo.
No,
and you can book it. Mahomes is money at home in the playoffs. He's got a 120 passer rating. He's got a 20-1 touchdown to interception ratio, and he averages over 300 yards passing in those games. So, no, I can't do it. I can't give Josh Allen the benefit of the doubt, even though I do think athletically he's the most talented quarterback left in the playoffs. I think he has a great performance. But it's not going to be enough to be able to overcome what Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs are bringing to the table.
You can
book
it.
Just combine them all together here. Chris, I'd like to say something clever right now, but I was the guy during the season that everyone was trying to get off the stuff. And for a while, I had quit the Chiefs narcotic. I am back, baby. I am back all aboard this thing here. Give me the Chiefs. Lay the points. I agree with you wholeheartedly on this one. I think that experience paid off. You've referenced that AFC Championship game from last year, and I think we're going to see Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid and company show everyone. We fully absorbed everything you wanted to throw at us this year, and we're still the baddest on the block in the AFC. So that is on the plus side here. We've each got a dog winning this weekend. Chris got the San Francisco 49ers. I went ahead and took the Los Angeles Rams against Tampa Bay. We'll assess the damage on the other side. But coming up next, with everything that we've been through in the last couple of years, with everything that we've seen go on, with all the changes in the way the world works, would you be willing to get on Pete Davidson's ferry to party? That's next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
No, sir. No.
This is ESPN Radio.
Football Friday here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Got to give a shout out to the guests that join us today. 7-time Pro Bowler and Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist Torrey Holt coming through to help preview the Rams-Bucks matchup in the divisional round. Also, we had Nate Taylor, the Athletic Chiefs reporter, preview the Bills-Chiefs matchup on Sunday night. And then, of course, former NFL tight end Vernon Davis coming through to talk about his San Francisco 49ers. If you missed any of it, go to the Canty and Golic Jr. podcast, download, rate, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. But, Gojo, we have now reached the portion of our show where it's time for us to do a little three and out.
Sometimes it's the worst. Sometimes it's the best. Either way, we'll get you straight with everything you need to know. This is 3 and Out.
3 and Out here on Canty and Golic Jr. Starts off close to home on this one. Chris, I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on this because we saw reports from Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider, that the Baltimore Ravens have fired defensive coordinator Wink Martindale with 1 year remaining on his contract. John Harbaugh, the Ravens head coach, put out a statement saying in part they agreed to move forward in separate directions after some discussion here. Chris, this is a coordinator you played for in Baltimore who's been there since 2012 here. How shocking is this?
It's a bit of a surprise. I mean, I know they've had some injuries on the defensive side of the ball this year in Baltimore, and that's led to some of the struggles. But, I mean, you're talking about having a top 10 defense 3 of the 4 years he's been their defensive coordinator. So for John Harbaugh to pivot and move off of him is a bit of a surprise, but I also know the two personalities that are involved. And Wink is a throwback. He's a relic from a different era of the National Football League. And so it doesn't necessarily play with some of the coaches that have a new-age approach, but he's a hell of a football coach. And, Gojo, I was just sitting here trying to see if we could figure out a way to get Wink Martindale to join, hopefully, Giants' new head coach Brian Daboll's staff as the defensive coordinator. And then while we're at it, let's see if we can bring on David Culley as the offensive coordinator, because he and Brian Daboll worked together in 2018 with the Buffalo Bills with Culley as the quarterback's coach for Josh Allen. So, listen, but in between the breaks, I'm trying to fill out the staff for the Giants. Brian Daboll as the head coach, Wink Martindale as the defensive coordinator, and David Culley as the offensive coordinator. Why not? New general manager Joe Shane needs to figure out a way to try to make that happen.
I mean, it sounds like Joe Shane's got to get you on the payroll at this point. Like, listen, you picked up paychecks from the Giants before. It might be time to bring Chris Canty on home. He's got ideas, folks. He's got ideas.
Oh, hey, listen, I will settle for them letting me back in the building at this point, Gojo.
There we go. Just put the key card back online, and we're going to be all good right now. So there we go. If it ends up happening, remember Chris Canty told you first. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So again, Wink Martindale out as the Ravens defensive coordinator after this season. Let's get to this. Some viral news from TikTok, Chris. A TikToker recounted the moment that he was dumped by his girlfriend weeks after donating his kidney to her mom. In a series of videos, Uziel Martinez from Baja California, Mexico, said he had heroically stepped in to save his ex's mother by donating the organ. Sadly for him, that apparently wasn't enough to rescue the relationship, which ended a month after the operation. What? He has since tried to claim that he is over the breakup. There's no bad blood, which seems like pun intended. He said, quote, actually, I'm fine. I'm fine emotionally. I think so is she. I have nothing against her. We're on good terms. Sorry, Chris, he's a better man than me. If I give your mom a kidney, we are soul bonded for life. Like, whatever those folks did in Avatar, bonding the tail together, this is bigger than that, all right? You have got my kidney, and if we're not cool, I'm sorry, she's got to give that back. I don't like the rules.
No.
You got to give it back.
Gojo, she hustled him out of a kidney to save her mom. Like, where they do that at? What part of the game is that? You give my mom a kidney because she's dying, and then all of a sudden I'm going to break up with you? I mean, that's at least good for a couple of years before you decide to break up, right? I don't know. Maybe you can be going through things off and on for a little bit, but you're just going to end things cold turkey after I gave your mom an organ? Come on, bro. Like, nah. I'm going to need for her to give me that back. Something's got to happen. There's got to be a way where they can work something out, because there's no way I'm giving up an organ to help save your mom's life, and then all of a sudden you're going to cut me loose. No way.
Yeah. No, there are givebacks in that situation. I'm going to look up. There's got to be that in the clause somewhere.
Yeah.
Let's finish this off on a positive note, because it is Friday, and apparently you might have something to do on Friday soon. Saturday Night Live stars Pete Davidson and Colin Jost are apparently about to purchase a $280,000 decommissioned ferry to potentially turn into New York's hottest nightclub. Chris, I don't know much about this, but if two guys from SNL want to start New York's hottest nightclub, and it is not called Stefan's on the Water, what are we even doing here, folks?
I'm just wondering what kind of maritime laws these two are going to break when they have this ferry popping off. Like, I'm just trying to imagine the level of debauchery that they're going to get into in this vehicle, literally and figuratively. Like, it's going to be real interesting to see whether or not it takes, number one, but then secondly, what the whole vibe is going to be like in the spot.
Fellas, if your lady gets on Pete Davidson's ferry, it's already over. Don't even bother picking her up after that. Stick around here on ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz got you covered coming up next.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.